Lord, please reserve my
mansion. Lord, please reserve my mansion.
Lord, please reserve a mansion.
Mansion, robe,
and crown.
Let the church say,
amen.
Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe, and crown. Rejoice always. Us always to be in the house of prayer. It is good to be in the house of prayer, isn't it? Isn't God a good God? Yeah, pray without ceasing. Thank you, Jesus. You almost was there. God is still good, but thank you, Jesus. That's what we talked about last week. Thank you. Give thanks to God in everything. Amen. Ain't God good? Y'all awake this morning? How y'all feeling this morning? Y'all blessed? Blessed? Y'all kind of seem like you're a little bit sluggish this morning. Yeah, amen. These kids got up here and they didn't know the wave and the joy, but they sure put on a show, didn't they? Praise the Lord. That's the way we want to be. Isn't that how we want to be? And that's how we need to be. We need to be just like those kids, man. Amen. Whether we know it or not, we love some Jesus, right? Yeah. I want to thank all the visitors that are here with us this morning. We are truly honored to have you. Thank you so much for being here with us. And we hope and pray you come back and worship with us again. I want you to be opening your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. I hope you brought your Bibles. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to commence reading in the verses 1 through the verses 6. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I tell you, it's been a very trying last couple of weeks for many people in the community, different communities. We appreciate all the prayers that has been offered up on their behalf and all the volunteers. And glad to have Danny back with us. He's been busy in his job and trying to make sure Fort Smith was taken care of. And God bless us, you all. He has really blessed us because he spared us. Amen. From some terrible floods that has gone on in the life of the people. Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." On this morning, I want to talk about the dignity of a child. Besides being called sheep, brethren, we are most often referred to in Scripture as children of promise, children of light, beloved children and dear children of God. Jesus is teaching in Capernaum and perhaps in the home of Peter, his disciple. And Mark's and Luke's gospel makes us to know that they are arguing among themselves about the preeminence in the kingdom. Who is the greatest? Who is first? Who is biggest? Who is chief? Who is the man? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Is it Simon? Is it Andrew who brought Simon? Is it Matthew? Is it Judas? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Who ought to have the prominent seat? Who ought to get the press? Who ought to get the spotlight? Who ought to be head and shoulders above everybody else? Who, brethren, is top dog? Who is the alpha male? And who is out front of everybody? And who are the little people? And who are the big people? And who are the tall people? And who are the people who need to go unnoticed? Who are the people who ought to be out front, who name needs to be on the bulletin? Whose name need to be called? Who ought to be the president? Who ought to be the preacher? Who ought to be the teacher, brethren? Who should be out front? Who is the greatest? Y'all see him? They're arguing, brethren, about who will be the shot caller, who will run in the kingdom of God. And Jesus overturns the apple cart, brethren. He tears up everything they have come to believe. Because in the ancient world, brethren, in the ancient status-oriented world, children were at the bottom of the ladder in the ancient world. In both Greek and Latin language, the word for children meant not speaking. That's what children meant, not speaking. That's where we get the idea, brethren, that children should be seen but not heard. From the Greeks and the Latin, that meant, brethren, that children were not worthy to be listened to because they lacked reason. To be called a child, brethren, was to be insulted in the ancient world because a child was defenseless. A child was dependent. They were fragile and they were unreliable and they were immature and they were at risk. And in the ancient world, brethren, unwanted children were simply left to die. A practice that came to be known as exposure. They left the child outside to be exposed to the elements. And the head of the household, church, had the legal right to decide life or death for a member of his family. Children could be exposed and left to themselves to die. And brethren, I want you to know that's not just ancient practice, okay? When you don't give your children values and you leave them exposed, when you don't raise your children, brethren, on Jesus, amen, you leave them exposed, brethren. They will be exposed to folk out there who will take advantage of them. They will be exposed to pornography and be exposed to drugs. And they will be exposed to the same sex ideal that we see on television. If you don't teach them what's right, they will be exposed to drunkenness. They will be exposed to vaping. When you leave your children out there, brethren, exposed and not brought up on Jesus, amen, you got to teach them what's right. They'll be left out there exposed on their own and no telling, brethren, what they will become. And it's not enough, brethren, to buy them tennis shoes that's made by Nike with a Jordan symbol on them. It's not enough to buy them tennis shoes, brethren, with a symbol of LeBron James on it, or Steph Curry, or whoever your favorite athlete is, church. It's not enough to put them in ballet and soccer, church. They need to be in youth ministry. They need to be in Sunday school, brethren, because if you expose them to the right thing, they can shield themselves from the wrong thing. Am I right? You hear over 40 years old, as I look out in the crowd, I mean, how many of y'all over here in here are over 40 years old? Just okay, how many in here that you don't want to act like you're over 40 years old, but you're over 40 years old? You know, amen, amen. But those of you over 40 years old, brother, who was raised like I was raised, your parents made you go to church. Amen. It was no debate, church. It was no negotiations. It was no letting you make up your own mind. Amen, brethren. They told you what to wear. They cooked one meal and everybody ate that one meal. Am I right about it? And if you're around my age, brethren, you know it wasn't McDonald's or a Burger King and all of that stuff. It was one meal. One meal. And if that was liver and onions, and if you didn't like liver, you went to bed hungry. Am I right? Am I right, brethren? If it was spaghetti and a little meatballs, we didn't have a lot, but a little bit of meatballs, and if you like that, you went to bed hungry, church. First of all, they did not have the kind of money, amen, to send you to McDonald's. But if they did, they would still tell you, you're going to eat what we got, and if you don't want it, you're going to go to bed hungry. So getting back to that, brethren, they decided when you went to bed. Come on, church. Am I right? You don't come in and when you feel like coming in and go out when you please, brethren. When the street lights came on, we had better be at home in the house. In the house, church, because they did not want to leave us exposed. Amen. They didn't want to leave us out there on our own, brethren, to think and do what we wanted to think and do. Because when you won't care for them, you leave them exposed. Children are treasures from God. Brethren, they are selfish. They are immature. They lie. Oh, won't they lie? Don't ever tell me what your child will not do. They lie, brethren, and they steal, and they bite, and they scratch, and they, amen, brethren, amen. Am I right about it? But in spite of all of that, they need somebody. They need somebody, brethren. And Jesus says, until you need somebody, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now listen, brethren, when Jesus said, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven, that must mean you had to be born outside of it, because every one of us, brethren, was born outside of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So there must be an entrance into it if you were born outside of it. And here is the way you get inside it if you was born outside of it. You've got to all get converted. Conversion means repent. That word repent, brethren, means don't slow down, but turn around. Am I right? What's that thing they got now for flood waters? Don't drown, turn around. Amen. So repent means, brethren, don't slow down, but turn around. See, many Christians think they're growing if they don't go out as much. Y'all remember when we used to go out? Oh, you holy now. Yeah. Y'all remember when we used to go out, brethren? And brother, and we thought, remember when you don't drink as much? Huh? Come on, church. Huh? You remember? Remember? And you say, I don't drink as much, I don't go out as much, and they cut down, but they don't drink that much. No, but now you've grown. You know you're where the Lord wants you to be when you stop doing it altogether. Am I right? I'm not saying that you're not tempted to do it, church, but you stop doing it altogether because the Holy Spirit comes now to take control of your life. Right? And you are no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. You have to repent and be baptized and then become like a child. Now, for years, brethren, prior to Jesus, they thought it was the responsibility of the children to grow up to be adults. But Jesus comes to turn that on his head. And Jesus says, if you want to get into heaven, it's not the responsibility of children to get like you. It's time for you to get like them. Huh? Amen, brethren. See, let me see if I can make this make sense. A child is not a mature, let me say, a child, brethren, is not a miniature adult. All the kids go in the Bible. Ozzy's not over there, is he, Maryland? Anybody got a child? I want to give you a living PowerPoint. Levi, come here, Levi. Come here. Look at that. Come on, Levi. This is not a miniature adult. See, he don't even want to move when I'm moving. See this? Jesus says, he's talking to the disciples. He says, unless you become like this child and be converted, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at him. Selfish. Stubborn. Now, Nikki, am I right about it, Nikki? Y'all see what Jesus... won't act right. Y'all see what Jesus is doing? Thank you, Levi. Y'all see what Jesus is doing? He's got an audience. He's got his disciples. They're arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus calls up a little child. Brother, a little child, he said, is not a miniature adult. Stop trying to make your children grown. Amen. Mothers, you are not your daughter's friend. Daddy, you are not your boy's homeboy. There need to be, brethren, a distinction between parent and child. One makes the rules and one follows the rules. Am I right? Because the one who makes the rules makes the gold. And the one, so brethren, the house ought to be run by the golden rule. He who makes the gold Rouge! Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't getting this. Brother, listen. I'm not an advocate of children ought to be seen and not heard. I'm not an advocate for that. Because they have an opinion. They have a mind, brethren. They have something to say in their place. In their place, church. Now, brethren, I can say almost anything to my mother. I can say almost anything to my father when I was growing up, as long as I finish by saying, yes, ma'am. Or no, ma'am. Right? Because the lines, brethren, were drawn. The distinction was always made that you are living in my house. Yes, Cecil, under my rules. Brethren, there's a line that cannot be crossed. Because as a parent, the Bible says, train them up in the way that they should go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. True children, brethren, are not little adults. They aren't, brethren. Stop, ladies, trying to make your daughter your friend. Tell her you got enough friends. Am I right? You don't need your 14-year-old daughter or your 14-year-old son to be your friend. Right? She needs to know, brethren, and he needs to know, you need to stay in a young lady's place. You need to stay in a young man's place, brethren. You don't need to make her a miniature adult. Stop telling her your woman's stories and your man's secrets. That's foolish. There's some things our kids, our son is 34, our daughter's 29, and there's some things our kids still don't know about me. And I ain't telling them, Paul. Children ought not see you doing what adults do. Brethren, they ought not watch what adults watch and going where adults go. Don't bring your children to sin. Don't bring them to sin. Don't let your boys see you vaping. Men are smoking hemp. Are drinking. Y'all hear what I'm saying, brethren? Don't let your daughter see you bring a man in the house, brethren, because you think you can't make it without a man. Stand up on your own, pray, and ask God to help you to raise your children by yourself, brethren. Somebody else did it, and if he did it for them, he'll do it for you, church. Don't turn your children into adults. Jesus says, we are not to make them into us, but we are to come down where they are. He says, unless you are converted and become as little children. Now, brethren, with all the faults that children have, and I'll mention some, children will snap on you. They will lie, brethren. They will steal. They will bite, brethren. They're selfish. They don't like to share. They don't get along with others. They're always making a mess. They're always breaking something. They're full of drama, brethren. You can't trust nothing they say. That's just the way they are. But even with that, they need their parent. Y'all hear me? They need their parent because you know why? You're selfish. You lie. You cheat. You mess up on stuff. You bring it up, you bring it to me just like your parents helped you, is what Jesus says. Be like that little selfish, mannish liar. Be like that. That was Jesus is telling his disciples, brethren. So you be like that. That's what I'm here to do as your Father in heaven. See, y'all thought that was just going to all be about the kids, didn't you? Jesus was trying to teach a lesson. He says, unless you become like children, not grown, watch this. Not grown, don't treat your children like miniature adults. He tells us, unless you become like children, unless you come to me, not grown, you can't come into God's presence, brethren, grown. You can't come into God's presence with your head up like you got this all together and you've been in church so long, nobody can teach you anything. Amen. You don't impress God, brethren, with how long you've been a member of the Polo Church of Christ. You do not impress God with that. You don't impress God with how long you've been teaching Sunday school, brethren. That does not move God to make you great. People who are great, brethren, in the kingdom of God don't seek greatness. They're satisfied with being in the background. They're satisfied with other people, brethren, that looks good and doing good. They're not working to get their name called, church. They want to do what they can do for the kingdom of God, because Jesus says, unless you become like little children, you can make a child believe almost anything. Because they're vulnerable. And brethren, they love and they trust you so much that they don't believe you'll do anything to hurt them. And Jesus says, unless you become like that, unless you become, brethren, vulnerable to whatever I tell you, you are not ready for the kingdom of heaven. You can't come to me, Jesus says, all puffed up, like you got it together. They ought to be thankful I'm here this morning. Really? You can believe you ain't ready for the kingdom of heaven. But you come in here and you say, I ain't nobody. I mess up. I lie. And I cheat. And I steal. And I gossip, and I'm envious, and I don't go to Texas because all my exes is in Texas. I don't know where that came from. Jesus says in verse 4 and 5, he says, whoever humbles themselves like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Jesus, brethren, is saying to us this morning, brothers and sisters, stop despising these little children. Stop getting annoyed, brethren, when these little children get up here and sing their little song and they're all over the stage. We've gotten old and cranky, right? And we've gotten mean-spirited, brethren, and we've learned how to show a good face. We've got all the right language. We know how to look all holy. If that's not real, brethren, God knows that. Unless you become like this, vulnerable and needy. God, I'm here. I'm here this morning by the skin of my teeth. Lord, I had a hard week last week. But I made it today. Not to be congratulated, brethren, but I'm here because, Lord, I need your mercy. I'm here, God, because I need your grace. I'm here, Lord, because I need you every hour. I depend on you like a child depends on his parents. But go home with this warning. Let this be a warning to you. Because verse 6, Jesus says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to scandalizo, or who causes his little ones to stumble, to be involved in a scandal, to be falling down because they were following me, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin, whoever causes one of these little ones to fall because they were following me, because they were following you, because you don't know, brethren, who's watching you. And with children, church, you don't know when they're listening to you. But they will listen to every word that you say against the church, against youth ministry, against Brother Don. And I can tell you the parents who don't like me, brethren, because their children don't like me. Church, children, some children will walk away from the church. Not because the church is not the right place to be, brethren, but because they've heard so much negative stuff about the church in their house from their parents who go every week. And they'll say, I don't want nothing to do with the church. Jesus says, whoever, I don't care who it is, that causes one of these children to sin, that causes one of these children to stumble, that causes one of these children to go astray, it would have been better for you if a millstone was tied around your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. Listen, it would have been better for you to have never been born than for you to lead somebody who is trying to find Jesus astray. Be careful what you say. Be careful, brethren, how you walk. Be careful how you live, church, because some little one, and I'm not just talking about children now, I'm talking about some little person who is trying to find Jesus. I'm talking about someone who is a babe in the faith and they're trying to get strong in the Lord and they're watching your example, brethren, and you're leading them astray by your ugly ways. We got four babes in the church. They were baptized this past week. They're not mature Christians. They're babes. And they're going to mess up. And don't you look at them with some slanted eye, some jaded eye. Because you're still messing up and you've been in church for 60 years. They're babes. And they're watching you. Be careful about your actions. You show them love. You show them how to love. You show them how to forgive. That's what Jesus is talking about, brethren. That doesn't make you look big to see how you tell people off or how you don't take nothing. doesn't make you look big, brethren. It makes you look very immature. Because somebody, church, who is growing in the faith or trying to grow is watching your poor example. And believe it or not, brethren, not all of us in here are good examples. But we either good ones or we bad ones. Jesus says, in my closing, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And let me do this. You all know we're going to have a senior saints dinner this soon as we finish service this morning. And we love our senior saints. And what Sherry did was Sherry gave many of you all, the senior saints, a little survey to fill out. And she got several back. Several of you filled them out and turned them in. And Sherry gave them to me. And she said, Donald, now I don't know what you're going to do with these. She said, but I think it's something that, you know, we appreciate our senior saints. And we appreciate your wisdom. Because a lot of y'all don't talk. Y'all just sitting on the pew waiting to go to heaven. Am I right? And our young people, amen, Daddy-O, amen. And you know I'm right about it, ain't I? And our young people, brethren, and I listen, brethren, I love you. That's why I'm talking to you about this stuff. It's important. And our young people is wondering, how do I make it in this world? Amen. And y'all ain't saying nothing to them. But you filled out a survey, and I'm glad you did. Thank you. I've got a few of them. And what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to answer to the first question that was asked. And let me just give you, there was three questions that was asked on this survey. And number one was, what advice would you give the younger generation on how to live a godly life? What advice would you give the younger generation on how to live the godly life? The second question was, what has helped you to stay on course throughout the years? And the third question was, would you have done anything differently in your Christian walk? Now, I'm not going to read the ones I've got feedback from. I'm only going to read the first answer to that first question that many of our senior saints wrote. And I want the young people to listen to this. What advice would you give the younger generations on how to live a godly life? Now, I'm not going to call a name who wrote it. I'm just going to give you the feedback. This one here says, never let Satan convince you that your sins are too big or too ugly for God to forgive. Let God wipe your sins away and try to do better each and every day. That's wisdom. This one says, we don't live a fairy tale life where all is perfect. Sometimes your heart is broken. Life is not about what you want. It's about what God wants. Ask God for wisdom. Read your Bible. It's never out of date. It's forever applicable. Another one wrote, treat everyone the way you like to be treated. Think before you engage your mouth by how it would sound to someone else. Your ears, think about what you say and what you hear. Think about what you say about people's clothing, their makeup, their hair, their speech, etc. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. it's easy to remain quiet. Here's another one. Stay in church. Read your Bible. Say your prayers. When you make a mistake, ask God for forgiveness. And listen and obey your parents. If you don't know something, ask. And help others. And become a child of God. Here's one. Says, if I had listened to my mom and done what she had taught me, instead of doing all of the things I wanted to do, I would have had a much better life. This one says, make Bible reading a daily habit. The Bible tells you what sin is, so they should avoid doing sinful things. Pray some each day and associate with Christian young people. Stay away from bad influence. Another one says, make sure your faith is yours and not your parents. Remember who God is and that He is in control. I didn't always stay on course, but I never wandered too far away or too long before straightening up. Another one says, I can only tell you what works for me and always has. I have lived a long, healthy, prosperous life and have relied on the advice of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived at that time. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Read the whole chapter 12 to learn what the whole matter is. Here's another one. After you leave home, do not give up on going to worship. Be friendly to everyone, but be careful about who you choose to be your close friends. We're known by the company that we keep. Here's one more. Praise God for His church. Be involved and work in the service of the Lord. Just a few more. This one says, trying to live a godly life is an ongoing pursuit for me. My advice, I would try to find people who are good examples to hang around with. People who encourage you, make you laugh a lot. People who are trying hard to be Christians. This one says, there are so many things to list, but for me, it has been family, an extended family that has kept me on the right path. No matter what comes up, I have turned to God and God's word first, and tried to follow the advice of those older and wiser. This one says, try to make a habit of reading your Bible daily. Wherever you go, find the church to attend. You need your church family to help you in the ups and downs of life. Never give up. This one says, believe that God is who He says He is, regardless of what so-called great minds say. This one says, there are so many things in today's world to pull young people away from God. As parents, we should try to instill a sense of right and wrong at an early age. Teach our young to treat people the way they would want to be treated, the golden rule. This one says, to spend a lot of time in the Bible and putting God first in all that you do. Spend a lot of time in prayer. Read Philippians chapter 2 a lot. This one says, keep God the center of your focus, your number one priority. This one says, I was raised by godly parents, taught the principles of love of God and family, never to bring shame to either. We taught our children to be the best of our ability the same. That's my advice. To love and obey the Lord and family. Be faithful in the church. This one says, as a very young girl, I learned the power of prayer, was my peace and my solace. And this one says, I just have a couple, three more. This one says, there was a time in my life when I left God and made decisions that led to sin. I regret the mistakes and during the formative years of my children's lives. After returning to God, I told myself, if I ever quit again, there will be no coming back, and the consequences will be damnation of my soul. This one says, avoid situations where you are not comfortable with the place you are or the people you are with. This one says, marry a godly spouse and study your Bible and pray. This one says, search scriptures and not focus on social media. You know that one's a senior saint. Focus on God, family, and living. And finally, well, two more. This one says, for me, staying on course changed with different stages of my life. As a teenager, I had my church friends, the activities at church, and a group of very supportive adults. But amongst all activities, we focus on Christ, and I learned them, and I need to focus on my salvation. As a young mother, my children had a very strong influence on the course I stayed on. And finally, you all remember, especially you sports buff, you OU fans, you all remember the OU softball game championship just a few days ago. Bob shared this with me, and I wanted to share with you. One of the OU girls, and there were several that said some things, but one of the OU girls softball player wrote this after the championship loss. Listen to it. She says, my only hope is that I showed you all who I serve. I serve an audience of one. Wins and losses will fade away, but our impact will be remembered the most. Lord, I thank you so much for this platform you have given me. And I am so grateful that this game does not define who I am as a daughter of the Most High. My identity is not in this game of softball. It's not in my friendships with other people. It's not in anything of this world. My identity is in Christ, and I am who he says I am. I will praise him at my highest of highs, and I will praise him at my lowest of lows. Because one thing is for certain, he has overcome this world. He has already won. Yeah, this one is going to hurt, but I don't need anyone's sympathy because this sport isn't my identity. This is just a game we play. Before a game, during a game, after a game, I will praise him. Y'all ready to eat? Y'all see, be as little children. Except that you are converted. Be as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But I hope you got something out of this. I hope our young people got something out of this. I hope parents got something out of this. They are a gift from God. And God, men, brothers and sisters, as adults, we are his children. And we got to come down to where the children are and be in need of him. You're in this audience this morning, brethren, and you're not a child of God. That's your selfishness. That's your arrogance. That's your think you got it going on. That's you think you are in control. Until you surrender to him, I'm here to tell you this morning, you will not enter the kingdom